Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From beautiful Huntington Beach, California, on the HealthyLife.net radio network, heard in all 50 states and 135 countries, all positive talk radio all the time. Welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver at caregiverdave.com. And we are also coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio podcast networks on 26 global audio and video platforms, including iHeartRadio and iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo. Too many to mention. So I'll just say we are proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast of the top 50 on Player FM. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Sarah Cart was raised and educated in New York and New England and wrote for multiple local publications. She and her husband, Ben, raised four sons in northeastern Ohio. On becoming empty nesters, the two moved to the Florida Keys, but they returned every summer to the Pennsylvania Poconos. Did I say that right? Poconos, there we go. To the Pennsylvania Poconos, where each had lifelong family connection. Then came COVID-19, the pandemic, combined with Ben's health issues, necessitated their sheltering in place in Florida for the entirety of 2020. And in the wake of Ben's undergoing miraculous life-saving measures, they have been afforded the unanticipated gift of a future and more than ever relish time spent with family and friends. Her memoir, On My Way Back to You, One Couple's Journey Through Catastrophic Illness to Healing and Hope, released spring of 2024. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to this interview. But before we go any further, I want to thank my last week's guest, which is Sarah, Heather Fink, started performing stand-up comedy in New York City in 2025 and continued making funny videos, doing improv and sketchy comedy. And now she's a caregiver and she talks about that. And like I said, you can listen to that interview as well on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of our other 26 global audio video platforms mentioned. All right, enough of that. Sarah, so great to have you on the Caregiver Dave show.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, the honor is ours, and I always like to ask my guests just who is Sarah Cart and why was she placed on this earth?
Wow.
Start with the easy questions.
Yeah, that was an easy one. Why was I placed here? Probably to be the caregiver that I had to be in the middle of COVID. I was the youngest in the family, so I was always the one who understood you don't say, are we there yet? Or I need to go to the bathroom. you get really good at swallowing things and just moving forward and going where everybody tells you to go.
Well, let's talk about your memoir that you wrote. What made you write a memoir about your difficult time in life? Weren't you busy, like, being miserable? Or I don't know.
It was a way to process what Ben and I had gone through. He was diagnosed with an incurable autoimmune disease back in 2017, and it got out of control and nearly killed him. The book is a life and death love story. Everybody could see that Ben was dying, and I found myself on a really steep learning curve as his caregiver. It was terrifyingly intense, but then miraculously and unexpectedly in the midst of COVID, we got what enabled our happy ending. And because it was so unexpected and because of some of the roller coaster elements involved, and because I'm a perfectionist and those things shouldn't have happened, and so he shouldn't have gotten a transplant, I just had a whole lot of stuff that I needed to work through. And so I ended up writing the book.
Well, you know, trials happen for a reason. I think the Bible says these trials are only to test your faith, see if it's pure, like fire tests gold. Your faith is worth so much more to God than mere silver and gold. Let's talk about the initial stages of Ben's illness. When did you realize that, Houston, we have a problem?
It was really subtle. We were at a wedding, and he went to whistle when the bride and groom were introduced afterwards. You know, it was Mr. and Mrs., and everyone's cheering and applauding, and Ben has just always whistled, and it's always been a one-handed whistle. And this time I saw out of the corner of my eye that he was holding his hand with his other hand to get his fingers close enough together. And I asked about it on the way home, what's with that? And he said, oh, my fingers are a little swollen, so I needed to hold them close enough together so I could get them into my mouth. And then the question is, well, how long have your fingers been swollen? And the answer is, oh, not very long, maybe a couple of weeks. And when you've known someone and grown up with them the way Ben and I have grown up together, you know that a couple of weeks really probably means 3 or 4 months. And so I ratted him out to our doctor when we went to get our flu shots. And I said, he's got this, his fingers are swelling. And he's also mentioned that his hands and his feet turn blue or white at any change of temperature. Wow. So we'd be in Florida and he'd walk in from 80 degrees into 75 degree air conditioning and his hands would change color. And the doctor said, we're not giving him a flu shot today. We're doing blood work instead. So we were really lucky that we caught his autoimmune as early as we did and that he had not exhibited any of the other symptoms yet. What he has is something called systemic sclerosis, which often presents as scleroderma, which is a skin issue where it hardens your skin. So your skin is like a mannequin's. It can harden it around your joints, so it becomes very difficult to move your arms and legs. And anyway, he went on immunosuppressants right away. And then it began to migrate from organ to organ and diagnosis to diagnosis. And we kept up as best we could until all of a sudden we weren't keeping up anymore. He went into congestive heart failure. He got a pacemaker. That was great for about 6 months. And then the doctors said, the pacemaker's not doing it. His only chance for survival is to get him on a transplant list, a heart transplant list. So that's what we were doing when COVID landed on the world, trying to get him on the transplant list, and we had not been successful. So
you and I have that in common. I mean, we were just living life, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm a caregiver overnight. My wife had a stroke, lost her speech, became paralyzed one side, 27 years, still living with that. And could you talk about what it's like to suddenly be a caregiver to a loved one that you, you were drafted? I mean, you didn't sign up for it.
Yeah,
right?
It can be devastating. At one point, I realized that the person I wanted to talk to about all the problems I was having was my best friend, and he was just not there. As he got sicker, he became so sleep deprived that it was like living with a really well-intentioned, sweet, dear, kind 10-year-old. I couldn't really trust him on his own. You know, I couldn't leave him alone in the house because he might, you know, turn on the tea kettle and forget to turn it off, kind of thing. And it's heartbreaking. And you have to make so many decisions every day, small and huge. Can I leave him alone while I go get gas in the car? Or should we no longer be living in this house, which isn't handicap accessible and he's in a wheelchair, and should I be calling a realtor? Just really overwhelming stuff that crashes down on you. And it's, I'm sure that you've heard the Rosalind Carter quote about caregiving. For me, I never heard that quote until I was in the thick of it. And we don't talk about it. It's like death. Our society doesn't talk about dying and death and how that's a part of living. And we don't talk about caregiving and how that's a part of the progression of life.
Yeah, her quote, in case no one knows, is you're either a caregiver, you're going to be a caregiver, you were a caregiver, or you're going to need a caregiver.
Yeah.
And that basically covers the inevitable. So those of you who think this doesn't involve you, just wait. Eventually, you will. Sometimes you don't even know you're a caregiver. You're helping the neighbor with their paper. You walk it in, you see they're reaching for something, you help them out. You realize that they need a meal prepared. You do that. You've taken them to doctor appointments. Next thing you know, wait, how did I become this person's caregiver, you know?
Yeah.
So many like it. How did you tell me what his symptoms are or were and then progress to? Because you say he's in a wheelchair. How did he go from
He ended up in a wheelchair. But his symptoms, the first summer after the autoimmune was diagnosed, and we thought, hey, we got this. We're good. He's on the immunosuppressants. Everything's fine.
Speed bump.
Yeah, he dropped about 30 pounds, and he wasn't skinny before, but he didn't have 35 pounds to drop as this went into his GI tract. And he couldn't, the disease, the autoimmune scarred his GI tract, his esophagus, so that he couldn't absorb nutrients. We went from there to, it kind of ebbed and flowed. So it migrated into his GI tract. Then it got into his joints and his tendons. At one point, it got into his jaw, and he couldn't, like, even just opening his mouth wide enough to take a bite of a really thin peanut butter and jelly sandwich hurt. I mean, it just, everything ached. Upset, it went to his heart. Eventually, it got to congestive heart failure. But in the meantime, at one point, he went through sudden and severe hearing loss. That was fun because he was already hard of hearing. It was just so strange. And you'd call the doctor and say, you know, hey, we've got a new issue. And they'd prescribe something and then they'd give you another doctor. So we had a whole collection of, rheumatologists.
It got worse, huh?
Yeah. Pulmonologists, rheumatologists. We had matched doctors north and south. The way he ended up in a wheelchair was actually, so the pandemic is declared in middle of March of 2020. Uh-huh. At this point, Ben is sleeping, not at all. I mean, he's dozing 22 hours a day, but he's really just not coherent. And 2 weeks after the pandemic shut the world down, his kidneys shut down too. And he ended up in the emergency room and then in the ICU. He was not on the heart transplant list yet, but they put him to bed in the hospital and they continued with all the tests and procedures and interviews that you have to do to get somebody on the list. And fast forward, he gets on the list and he's unstable, too unstable to remain on the list. They take him off the list on Good Friday. They put him back on the list on Easter. He's getting unstable again. They're about to take him off the list and a heart is allocated and we have a miracle. And it's amazing. All of this happening under COVID protocols. I can't visit him. I hadn't seen him when he got the heart transplant. I hadn't seen him in 3.5 weeks. A week after the transplant, the doctors are saying to me on the phone, you know, they're giving me updates on all of his different numbers because he's not coherent yet. He's still loopy and out of it. And at the end of the call, the doctor says, oh, and there's one other thing. Has anyone mentioned this broken left hip? And I think the doctor was afraid that it had happened on their watch. And I said, you know, nobody's mentioned anything about a broken hip, but I can tell you he told me he bruised his hip about 3 days before he ended up in the hospital. And they said, what had happened? And I said, he went to use the commode in the middle of the night. And he had 10 feet to walk back to the couch because at that point his sleep was so restless. He was sleeping on the couch. So if he rolled out, he would land on the floor very easily, but he didn't roll off the couch. He was walking back to the couch and he fell asleep and he just went over like a tree. And I asked if when he said to me that he'd done it, the only reason he said anything was because I asked him why he was taking so much ibuprofen. Oh, well, I fell. What do you mean you fell? Well, I fell asleep on my way back to the couch and I went over like a tree and I bruised my hip. And that was the last we
knew. Before he fell asleep before he hit the couch?
Yeah, he fell in the middle of the living room. He had enough room to just go straight down. Didn't hit the couch, didn't hit the coffee table. Was later diagnosed with severe osteoporosis, but that was not one of the things that anybody had figured out yet. So he was gone in the hospital for 10 weeks, 8 weeks in the hospital, 2 weeks in transplant rehab. But when he came home to me, he was in a wheelchair and dependent on painkillers, and they weren't going to fix the hip until he was strong enough and until the COVID numbers in Florida were low enough that they felt they could bring him back into the hospital. So he had a broken hip for 4.5 months before they could fix it.
Wow, that's amazing. It must have been incredible being in the midst of COVID, hearing that people are dying left and right. Probably you expected this to be over in the middle of a COVID. And yet you're saying you keep using the word miracle. So I'm wondering, maybe you should talk about your faith and what's your definition of a miracle and talk about that for a bit.
Well, there's the very obvious miracle of his having gotten the heart when he did. We knew he was dying. And we had had time. We'd had the gift of time for him to say to me, what worries you about me? About not having me anymore. And it was everything from the grieving process and the missing my best friend to the, how do I handle insurance? How do I handle closing the house in Pennsylvania down when I want to go south in the wintertime? What does it mean when that check engine light goes off on the dashboard of the car? How do you change a flat tire? I mean, a lot of these things he taught me early on before the sleep deprivation became a major part of it. But how do you pay thus and such a bill? And we had time for the really practical stuff, but we also had time for the conversations about, the really hard conversations about what do you want people to say at your funeral? Where do you want your remains? Do you want to be cremated? The conversations that you think you know the answers, but we're now, it's push comes to shove. I need answers on these. So having that time and those conversations, those were miraculous in their own way. The true miracles for me came while he was in the hospital, before he was on the list, and while he was on the list and while he was recovering. But I started to meditate. I'm not someone who sits still long, very comfortably, but someone had passed along this meditation series to me, a 3-week series, 20 minutes a day. Come on, you can at least try it for 3 days and see how you do. And while I was sitting there, probably on the second day, I envisioned all the people we've loved and lost, his father, his grandparents, my mother, my brother, my stepbrother, some of his best friends from high school, aunts and uncles. I asked them, wherever they were in the universe, to please come back and shine their light and love on him. Ben needs you right now. Please come back right now and shine your love and light on the clinic where he was and on his bed, on him, on his doctors, on his nurses, on all the technicians, and just that funnel of light was so powerful for me. And then after the transplant, there were conversations about his mentation and ICU delirium and, had he maybe had a stroke in the OR. And so I got really specific. The one grandfather who was very entrepreneurial and business-minded, I envisioned him standing by Ben's head. The other grandfather whom I'd never met but was supposedly very loving, I asked him to be near Ben's heart. I asked these beings to please help him in the different particular places where he needed help. And I would pick and choose who those people were. And it, It may all be hogwash. I think my kids wonder what I was smoking or chewing. But it got me through it, and I'm not sure that it didn't get him through it and didn't bring him back to me.
It's pretty amazing.
He's talked about it a little bit since. He's talked about, I think for him it's threads. For me it's cones of light, and he's talked about threads. So it's just an interesting, I mean, we were an hour and a half apart, but were we communicating? I don't know. No.
We are up on a break, so we will be right back. Back away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use-and-read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you, or realizing and using the power of momentum, or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world, or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Welcome back to the Caregiver Dave Show. I'm Dave Nassani, CaregiverDave.com, along with my guest, Sarah Cart, and we're talking about her husband, Ben, and his miraculous recovery. So how recovered is he? I mean, is he as good as new? How old is he?
He is 65.
That's a young age.
Yeah, he was 60 when he got the transplant.
Now you're roughly the same age?
Yeah. People all his life have always compared Ben to Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, or in more recent decades, the Ever Ready Bunny. As he got sicker, those elements of his personality faded. I would say they are back at 100% now. He's Tigger with a bit of a hitch in his hop.
He got his hip surgery, did he?
He got his hip surgery. That was amazing. The hip surgeon started consulting with us before Ben even got out of the hospital in the first place to say, this is what we think we need to do. This is how we think we'll do it. COVID is going to complicate whether or not we can bring him back in, because is it going to count as elective surgery and the different protocols involved? And the other most important thing at that point was Ben was in extreme pain, and the surgeon put us in touch with pain management
Because of the hip, the pain?
Right at the beginning, and explained that, and explained this is what you're going to do. If your pain is 6 or higher, you're going to take the Oxycontin. And if your pain is 5 or lower, you're going to take Tylenol. And you're not going to take more than thus and such an amount of Oxycontin in a 24-hour period. And they talked with us twice a week to see how that was going. Mm-hmm. And when he finally got the hip replaced, the surgeon was just so lovely and amazing. Because Ben had been in the hospital for so long, because he had gone through some occupational therapy to do with his transplant, he knew things like how to transfer, and I knew by that time I knew them too. And so they didn't keep him overnight in the hospital. This was in Florida. This is the beginning of August. There was a tropical storm coming, and the surgeon said, "You've got time to get him home, take him home." So I took him home on a Friday night. I think we got home at around 10. The phone rang. My phone rang 20 minutes later. It was the surgeon making sure we'd gotten home safely. He called the next morning to see how we were doing, called lunchtime the next day. He called Saturday at dinner time. Sunday morning when he called, and I said, "Everything's good except Ben is in such pain." And he asked how much medicine Ben had taken. And I told him, we're doing the Tylenol, we're doing this. He said, no. This is why we've just spent the last 2 months controlling everything. This is when he can take the Oxycontin at a much higher dose. And 2 weeks later, we're in the surgeon's office, a follow-up appointment, and he says, how's it going? And Ben says, it's great. Once you told me I could start taking the pain meds, it's been wonderful. And the surgeon looked at him and said, "I am so happy for you. I am not renewing your prescription. And no one else is renewing it either." And we got home, and that night I found Ben sitting on the side of his hospital bed with all of his pills spread out, and he was counting them. This is the middle of August. He goes, "I have enough pills to get through the end of September." And I said, "Okay."
And how long was that? Like 30 days or?
Yeah, it was about 30 days. And he was off of them within 10 days. He weaned himself off of them. We've had the unfortunate experience of knowing people who are addicted, and sure, he did not want to go through that. And so he weaned himself off of them. It was amazing. That was another miracle. When you asked how Ben is doing, he is doing so well that more than frequently he annoys me, and it's wonderful.
Wow. I mean, you are so fortunate. That is a miracle.
It's really a miracle. Yeah. My sister was widowed at age 47. My brother died too young in the middle of all of Ben's being sick. And so
the odds were against him. And if you were a gambling person,
When I wake up in the middle of the night because my husband is next to me snoring, I think of my sister-in-law and my sister and just imagine what they would give for that minor and wonderful annoyance.
Yeah, Dr. Laura used to tell a story about this woman who used to complain that husband used to clip his toenails all over the place and just upset her. And, she's a perfectionist and neatnik. And she goes, "He died recently, and I would give anything to have those toenails."
Yeah.
My wife that a lot when she complains about me. "You know, honey, one day."
Yeah.
Maybe I use that a little too much. So how did you balance your responsibilities as a caregiver with the need to maintain your own well-being? I mean, burnout is a common thing. I went through it. I'm sure you did. Why don't you explain how close to burnout did you get, or were you in the midst of it? And how did you, how did you balance everything?
When I'm in crisis, I journal. I also walk. I try to walk through the anxiety. You can't always do that. You can't always leave the house for the walk, but you can do the journaling or the meditating if things are under control for the moment. It comes down to sort of everything you ever learned in kindergarten. You have to sleep, get good sleep, eat right, and exercise. You have to be accepting of where you are and what's happening. I tried really hard while communicating with family and friends to not be brutally honest, but be honest, not to sugarcoat things, not to give anybody false hope. The last thing I wanted was to have to walk back something. And you need to establish as best you can the areas where you need to protect yourself. I did, my hardest moments were after he came home from the hospital. He'd been gone for 10 weeks. He'd had the 24/7 attention of doctors and nurses and technicians and janitors and nutritionists. And he comes home, it's COVID, he has me. And that was a shock for both of us. I'd been through a lot of FaceTime and Zoom tutorials with the nutritionists and the doctors and the therapists. We were supposed to have some home healthcare visitors. That didn't work. Partly because of COVID, partly because of where we were in the Keys. We did end up with one home health nurse who was, it took a while to find her, but once she was, coming on a reliable basis, she was an angel and taught me things that I needed to know. He came home with an amazing, bed sore. That was the other challenge about getting his hip replaced. He couldn't go into that surgery, which is highly prone to infection, without the bed sore being at least under control. And I'm an English major. I don't do blood. But the nurse was really, really good about saying, okay, roll up your sleeves, get your smelling salts, do whatever you need to do. I'm going to show you what we need to do today. And we took it a step at a time. She, in the end, the hip doctor actually put us in touch with a wound care specialist who was even more, okay, you haven't rolled your sleeves up high enough now. And yes, smelling salts and your mask and all the rest, but we're going to get really aggressive with this. But we got the bed sores under control. And, I was just really lucky to have that kind of support available to me. I can't thank those people enough for what they did to enable Ben's finding his way back.
Well, hey, we're up on another break, so we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now. Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to the Caregiver Dave Show. I'm Dave Nassani, along with my lovely co-host, Sarah Part. And we're talking about her story and her book. You know, you're such an expert now. What advice do you have for other family caregivers who may find themselves having a similar experience as yours that you mentioned so far?
Don't hide. Don't. I think, well, for me anyway, and for Ben, and we both come by it honestly, there's a tendency to do smoke and mirrors, to tell people that everything's, oh, we got it, we're okay. That only works for so long. Be gracious and accepting of people's attempts to reach out. There can be awkward moments because they don't know what to say or what to do, and you just have to appreciate they're really trying their best to be supportive. Be kind and forgiving and supportive of yourself. This is a steep learning curve. I don't think there's anyone that's right from the start, and I'd be surprised if someone can do it perfectly even after years of experience. Roll with the mistakes and move forward. Sometimes your mistakes are going to knock you back a step. Sometimes they're going to knock you back five steps. You just need to breathe. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and try again.
Yeah, that's our theme song. Just keep breathing.
Yeah. I did at night when I couldn't sleep because of whatever would be going wrong. I took to exhaling all the bad stuff, the fear, the doubt, the anger, the grief, and squeezing my lungs as if they were a sponge to get all of that out. And then in that vacant space, just bringing in love and joy and gratitude and peace, confidence, strength. And I would do that three or four times. And usually, by the fourth or fifth time, I was maybe finally able to get my heart rate down and go back to sleep.
A lot of visualizations, huh?
Yeah.
So who was your community and how did they support you during this time, and what role did they play in your resilience? I mean, what did Hillary Clinton say about no one's an island?
An island, yeah. It takes a village to raise a child and all that. One of the blessings of being in the Keys during all of this was that unlike the people up north who were confined to closed spaces in the cold weather, I could go outside. Ben could go outside. We could be with people as long as we were 10 feet apart and wearing masks. While he was gone, people would leave gifts on my front doorstep. I'd go for a walk, I'd come back, and there'd be two handmade masks or a watercolor of some flowers with a note saying, I was going to bring you real flowers, but this will last longer. Or I'd walk in and find on my kitchen table a hot meal because someone knew what the timing was and that I hadn't been eating. There was one cashier at our local market. There were days when honestly the only thing I wanted was a bag of potato chips and a bottle of Pinot Grigio. And she and I never saw each other face to face. We met, as you would call it, during the pandemic. So I always saw her with her mask on, and she always saw me with my mask on. And she just, the smile in her eyes, the support, her name was Honey, and a smile from Honey was, I might not want anything at the grocery store or need anything at the market today, but I would go just to have Sunny smile at me. Our four boys, were all over the country. But we'd have family Zoom meetings, and they tag teamed with each other to say, you know, have you talked to Mom lately? I think maybe Mom could use a boost. Could call her and tell her one of your really bad jokes, or stuff like that. And family and friends. The Zoom feature for me is just amazing. To remember what it was like before Zoom is like trying to remember when I didn't know how to read. It's just such a day-to-day. My book group from Ohio, they got in touch with me and said, you know, you moved 10 years ago, but now that we're all meeting virtually, do you want to come back to book group? That was great. And women I'd gone to college with, we were Zooming together every 3 weeks. It was really amazing.
I wish I bought Zoom stock before the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Who knew? Really got them very, very big and strong. They were pretty big and strong to begin with. So you're a spousal caregiver. That's not easy. You know, sometimes it takes its toll on your marriage, your relationship, and your romance and all that. How did it affect you guys? Because I assume you were just lovebirds before, right?
It's in the before times, everything is so normal. You've got each other's back. You're each other's sounding board. You laugh together. You fight with each other. You kiss and make up. You're best friends. Sometimes you ignore each other. And then just when you least expect it, the before times are gone. And you're dealing with something completely different. You're like two frogs in a pot of water that's getting warmer, and suddenly you realize that, oh, it's so warm, you can't jump out. There were times when I would think, was there a moment when I could have said no? And really, I think the only moment would have been when he asked me to marry him, or at the altar. But really, all these moments led to this, and there was no time I would have chosen to say no. So finding our way back to each other was a collection of small moments. After 10 weeks apart, just being able to hold his hand was my everything. And when he was in such pain with his hip, that sometimes that was all I could do. Witnessing his wonder at being outside again. I mean, his preferred place to be is in the woods looking for snakes or frogs or toads or turtles. And so for him to be in a sterile white hospital room for 10 weeks was, crushing. So to watch him witness all the things that he hadn't even realized that he missed, it was just amazing. And we were so aware of all the COVID people who didn't have and wouldn't get what we had gotten. The time to be together again, the time to say all the things we meant to say earlier and hadn't. It
really got a second chance.
We really did. And he had to learn how to walk again. Yeah, he had to learn to walk again. And one of the things that he had to do was learn how to do stairs. And they talk about doing reciprocal steps, which is when you go left, right, left, and like what a quote unquote normal person goes up the stairs. And nowadays, we might get sniping at each other about something ridiculous, like, did you buy graham crackers? Well, no, they weren't on the list, so I didn't buy them. And it devolves. And then he'll just walk over to the back step, and he'll step up and go, look at me doing reciprocal steps. And it just puts everything in perspective. It's like, nope, sorry, I didn't buy graham crackers. If you want me to buy graham crackers, yeah, I know, I need to write them on the list. It takes all of the a lot of the angst out of our conversations anymore.
Yeah.
So,
you have any relationship advice for other couples who are spousal caregivers who are at their wits' end?
That's a tough one. I mean, it has to do with who you were before.
Dr. Walt, that's good advice. I mentioned that. Think about what things like if they weren't there.
Yeah.
How more tolerant and understanding and empathetic and sympathetic you would be.
Yeah, I did find myself in some of the darkest moments, wondering, you know, would other people that we know, would she stick around if he were going through this, or would he stick around if she were going through that?
Good point. Not many people would.
Yeah.
One second. We got a last break.
Okay.
Be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back to our final segment in the Caregiver Dave show with my guest, Sarah Clark. And we're talking about, some people wouldn't do what we're doing, you and I, and many other caregivers. But unfortunately, I think we're the minority because when my wife had a stroke, she was in the hospital with other people whose spouse served them divorce papers while they were in there. So, I'm sorry, I didn't sign up for this. And, I take my vows seriously, but I take it for granted that not everybody takes your vows seriously. How about you?
Yeah, I have a real problem with a promise is something that's supposed to be kept. And it can be anything. I drive Ben nuts. I'll come home and realize that something was in the grocery cart that didn't, that's in the grocery bag that didn't get paid for. And I take it back and pay for it. It's like, why did you do that? It's because I can't go to sleep at night knowing that came home by accident. Not that that happens very often, but it's happened probably twice in the 40 years we've been together. So he wasn't surprised when I did it the second time. That's why you're together. There's no promise when you get up in the morning that it's going to be an easy day of just strolling through fields of wildflowers. Life is full of challenges and hiccups. And if you're in it together, you're in it together. That's where I mean. So a month ago, I fell going up the stairs and smashed my head. I don't know if you can see the bruise, but smashed my head against a wall. And Ben got his opportunity to be my caregiver for about 72 hours. It was a concussion. I didn't break anything, but he had to get me to the emergency room and he had to, all kinds of things. breakfast and
drive and everything, right? That's good.
Yeah. And, it was just I said to him afterwards, did that feel like PTSD to you? And he said, no, actually, he felt more comfortable as all the things, lights were beeping and, things are beeping and lights are going off. And he said, I felt more comfortable knowing that that's just what they do. It wasn't always an emergency. It just, that's being there for each other. That's what it takes.
If you can have a back to the future moment and go back and talk to you just before all this happened, what would you tell yourself? And how would you believe it and obey it?
I used to say, I would have told myself, you're strong enough for this. That implies some sort of judgment or strength or whatever. I think it'd be more, you're going to get through this. You just need to keep moving forward when you can move forward. You will get through this. And we tend to highlight the bullet points of life, the engagement, the wedding, the baby, the graduation, the anniversaries, but life is all the filler stuff in between. And, you just need to rejoice and be glad in the filler stuff. And whatever blessings it brings. I mean, there is always something for which to be grateful. As Ben was really, really sick and people knew he was sick and they would call to say, how are things going? This is before he ended up in the hospital. Mm. I would say, when things are going well, we take it week by week. When things aren't going quite as well, we take it day by day. And sometimes we just have to take it hour by hour.
Now you have this book. And why did anybody buy it, read it? What do you hope they get out of it?
I hope it gives them hope and strength, courage. I have a friend whose husband had a stroke at the beginning of March, and she made the time to read the book just recently and just said, it makes me feel like I'm not alone, which I really appreciate. I hope that people consider organ donation. And if it's something that they're willing to do, that they let their loved ones know so that when their loved ones might be faced with a horrific decision-making moment, they know what to do. We cannot be grateful enough to a family who, in what has to have been their most devastating hours, made a decision that proved miraculous for us. So,
I can't believe how fast our time has gone today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How can listeners reach you, or maybe they want to ask you some personal questions?
There is a website. It's www.onmywaybacktoyou.com. And the people in charge of the website pass information on to me. I'm not the world's most social media savvy individual. But I people have reached out, and it's been really interesting and wonderful to have the comments people want to share and the questions they want to ask. It's been really revealing and affirming.
And I assume your book is on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
It is. Your independent bookseller can find it too, but it's on Amazon, it's on Kindle, it's on Audible. So.
Oh, did you read it yourself?
I did not. I thought I was going to, but there are different voices in the book, and so it ended up being a husband and wife team. Mm. And they had the capability that I would not have to put in good sound effects. It was very helpful.
All right. Well, thank you again. Remember, all our live shows become recorded pod and video casts on your favorite platforms. My number one best-selling book, It's Your Life 2, How to Thrive as a Caregiver. Is available wherever books are sold, and also my free membership website, caregiverdave.com, where you can also schedule a free 30-minute initial coaching call to talk about whatever you're struggling with. And I also invite you to join my Caregiver Dave Facebook community of 34,000 caregivers, lots of tools, resources, videos, this radio show, and much, much more. Hey, if you click the like and follow button on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this interview on, it helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithm. Again, thank you to all my listeners out there all over the world for tuning in every week and making me the number one, or making this show, I should say, the number one caregiver podcast and radio show on the internet. So until next week, same time, same channel. Thank you, Sarah. May God richly bless you all. Bye-bye.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you, or realizing and using the power of momentum, or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing.